some of your favorite people joining the show in just a little bit. Dan Lyman, one of our incredible reporters over at Infowars.com, will be joining us to break down several really important reports that they've got up on the website right now. One of those reports will include an illegal alien who was given a CDL. Well, sadly, he's accused now of murdering four individuals. Dan Lyman's been following the story. He'll bring us the very latest. Also joining the show, Mel Kay, everyone's favorite. Okay. There's a lot going on in regards to this immigration back and forth I want to talk to her about. But most importantly, a lot of the key people who are speaking out about President Trump, Tom Tillis, that's a key person that I want to highlight because he was just at the World Economic Forum and he was actually praising the WEF while he was there. Now, all of a sudden, though, he can't vote on the replacement of Jerome Powell until that investigation is done. I wonder why. You and I both know why. Because Jerome Powell is a puppet for the WEF. The globalists. Mel Kay is going to sound off on that. Plus, obviously, some Bill Gates stuff. You know, whenever we could talk about Bill, Mel's a very happy person, likes to call him out because he's a scumbag, obviously. So we look forward to that discussion in just a little bit. There's a story that I want to make sure was on your radar. It's actually quite crazy because it's based in Florida. Now, normally, again, we keep talking about this. There's liberal prosecutors, and Orlando has a bad one. But there's liberal prosecutors who are refusing to enforce the law. And these types of individuals should be pulled. But then you also have the judges that are all a part of this as well. There's one mother who's absolutely devastated right now because her teen was brutally murdered by another teenager in Orange County, Florida. Now, if you're wondering, what's the penalty for an individual who murders an innocent person? Well, according to reports, and again, this is a juvenile, so they don't release the information about the specific person involved in all of this. But according to the report, this teenager was apparently sentenced to 6 years in rehab, but was apparently released after serving just 18 months. Now, the mother is pleading with the public to bring more attention to this because she feels like she's an absolute letdown to her own daughter who was murdered. And when you listen to the story, listen to the mother and the pain in her heart, because again, this is another liberal prosecutor taking it and the judges taking it upon themselves to release a murderer back onto our streets. Take a listen to clip 7.
The person who did this was protected more. He mattered more. His age mattered. A rehabilitation program for him mattered more than my daughter. And I don't want to feel like I let my daughter down because nobody cared.
Right now, what happens to the offender after their program conditions are met is handled by the Department of Juvenile Justice and a judge. It does not include the victim or prosecutor.
What an absolute disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. This is going on in Florida, folks. This is going on in Florida, and it's happening here in Texas, too. We have these liberal prosecutors that take control of these county offices, and they do whatever the heck they want. These judges do the same as well, and they get to just decide. We'll take a gamble. Their empathy is always with the criminals rather than the actual victims of these crimes. And again, how does it make this country a safer place when we're releasing cold killers back onto the streets just because why? Oh, because they're a kid. They're a kid. No. To commit murder, you are a monster. Age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. Now, folks, the reason why I think this is so relevant, we all need to buckle up, is, as you guys know, InfoWars last year lost Jamie White. And the reality of that is Travis County prosecutors are very likely going to be reducing those charges because they too have more empathy for the actual suspects because they think, oh, they're teenagers. So they want to give him a second shot at going out there and being able to hurt and kill others. This happens all the time. I'm constantly speaking with victims' families. Another murder case I was covering here in Travis County, they dropped against all four of the suspects involved in this woman whose son was brutally murdered during a robbery. They dropped all the murder charges against these individuals. This is what's going on. And sadly, we don't have people in power who are going to speak up on the behalf of these victims. It's an absolute disgrace. Folks, don't go anywhere. Dan Lyman, Mel Kay joining me in just a few moments. Stay put.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. Third hour of the program. Got a lot going on over here. Buckle up, folks. It's like another day, another illegal alien murdering innocent individuals. We have a new story that just dropped yesterday, and it's up on InfoWars.com right now. Dan Lyman's all over the story. When I saw the press release that was dropped by DHS, my heart sunk because, again, this is all avoidable if we enforce our immigration laws and we stop these liberal cities, these liberal states from issuing CDLs to illegal aliens. They love doing that. They love doing that. Well, sadly, there was another tragedy that occurred recently, and it's got several people injured, but sadly, four Americans have lost their lives. It's due to a head-on collision that took place in Indiana. This happened earlier this week, it looks like. And this individual came in under the Biden regime, of course. Joining us to break down his latest report over at InfoWars.com is Mr. Dan Lyman himself, and he joins us to discuss. Dan, thank you for being here. This story is deeply, deeply concerning because, again, we have illegal aliens who are somehow, some way grabbing CDL licenses, driving all around our country. And they have these are semis. These are massive, massive weapons being used. And sadly, we have now four more dead Americans because of this. What's the latest on that story?
Yeah, it seems like every week we hear a new story of Americans being killed by big rig drivers who have no business being in our country. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, yesterday I had limited time, so I had to pick between covering this story of Americans being killed by an illegal alien big rig driver or covering the story in California of an American being killed by an illegal alien fleeing from police in Orange County. And so I went with this one. And we'll bring that Orange County story to the InfoWars site today. Mm-hmm. But sadly, four more Americans have lost their lives. Two more are facing life-changing injuries at minimum. And so this story took place in Indiana, which is a very, it's a very busy, high-traffic area for logistics companies moving back and forth across the country. And what we have here is a 30-year-old from Kyrgyzstan, a country out in the stands, out near Russia, out near China. People that are, they couldn't be any different than us. They couldn't be from any further away on the globe. And this guy came into the country thanks to the CBP One app that the Biden regime basically used to flood the country with about a million otherwise inadmissible aliens who would be in the country illegally if not for this app. And the way the app worked, if anyone doesn't know, is that people from around the world could schedule an asylum hearing or an appointment at ports of entry along the southern border. And if they could make their way to the southern border of Mexico, the border of Mexico and the U.S., then they could have their appointment there with CBP, and just about all of them were released into the country, many of them with work authorization. And so this Kyrgyzstani was released into the country during the Biden era. It's unclear exactly when he came in, but because the app was basically in effect for the last 2 years of the Biden regime, we can assume it was probably in 24, possibly 25, possibly 23, I guess. And so he made it into the country, apparently got work authorization and got a CDL issued to him by the state of Pennsylvania. We've covered a lot of these stories, and oftentimes we find out that the CDLs are being issued by California or Washington State, for instance. But now we're finding out that Pennsylvania was doing the same thing. And so this guy was operating a big rig and was traveling down an Indiana highway. It sounds like it was probably like a two-lane highway. And so the truck driver in front of him slowed for traffic, and this guy did not or could not slow down in time and swerved instead into oncoming traffic with his massive, presumably 40,000-pound vehicle, if it was fully loaded, slammed into a van traveling in the opposite direction. And our understanding is that this is what is called an Amish taxi. That's the reports that we're seeing. So the Amish will pay a non-Amish person to drive them around, whether it's to and from work or running errands or on business or other matters. And so the occupants of the vehicle, the passengers, apparently were all Amish, and the driver was not. And four of the Amish men in the vehicle were killed. Three of them were family members. It was a father and two sons. And then a family friend as well. And then, so they were all killed. Another passenger was seriously injured. And the driver was in critical condition. I believe there's a GoFundMe for his medical bills and support. And so, but of course, as is often the case with these drivers that kill Americans, this Kyrgyzstani was uninjured. And so he was taken into custody. And Indiana plays ball with the federal government, so ICE lodged a detainer against him, and he was quickly transferred into ICE custody. And DHS gave us the information yesterday, the background on this guy, that he is an otherwise inadmissible alien. He's an illegal alien who was laundered through the CBP-1 app into the country, and he's now in ICE custody, and an investigation is ongoing.
Dan, this makes my blood boil. People just trying to live their lives, and you have to worry about these illegal invaders who've come into our country. And I just have to assume at this point that they just don't have any respect for Americans. They don't respect our culture. They don't respect any of us. And that's the reason why they're just so dismissive. I mean, we remember the Indians who were here, who obviously killed several, I believe it was three individuals on that Florida highway, that one individual popping out of the truck and just not even caring that the fact that the people that he killed, allegedly, of course, because he's still pleaded not guilty, just has no reaction, doesn't show a lick of emotion. And it's just so infuriating that these are the people we've brought into this country. No care in the world. Don't give a damn. Oh, look, just killed them. Literally probably cut their heads off and doesn't even blink. These are the people that we've imported from countries that hate us and people don't respect us at all. So no surprise there. Just absolutely devastating news. Dan, I want to.
And they have no respect for human life because many of these guys have no idea what they're doing at the wheels of these massive machines. And truck driving is a very serious business, and up until very recently, is a very honorable, respectable business, especially for American blue collar men and women who just wanted a way to make a living and very grueling work. But it's a huge responsibility to be at the wheel of one of these machines. They are basically flying fortresses. Driving fortresses. They are like skyscrapers, you know, turned on their side, large buildings just hurtling down the road. And these guys, if they had respect for human life, they wouldn't get behind the wheel unless they fully understood the machine that they were operating. And of course, if they could read the road signs. This guy presumably doesn't speak very good English, given that he's only been in the country a couple of years and he's from the other side of the planet. So they have no respect for American citizens, of course, and they also have no respect for human life.
Yeah, and Dan, I mean, I'm not well versed on the salary of a truck driver, but I mean, I see the signs on people's trucks that say that a lot of these truck companies do pay like $100,000 a year. Is there a big reduction in costs when they're employing these illegal aliens? Is that the reason why these companies continue to do it?
Yeah, we've talked to some trucker organizations, American Truckers United, and others who have explained that a lot of these guys will take far, far less pay than the American drivers would take. And we've actually seen in some cases, we just saw a recent case in Washington State where another Indian driver who was illegally in the country that killed Americans, he actually was cooking his logbooks and was indicating on the books that he was driving with a partner. Mm-hmm. Truck drivers are very regulated as to how many hours they can drive consecutively, how many hours they can drive in a 24-hour period, for instance. However, if you're driving as a team, essentially you can drive 24 hours a day. This guy did not have a partner on the road, but he indicated in the logbooks that he did. So he was driving as much as he wanted. And at that point, you're creating a very dangerous situation with a fatigued driver, an overworked driver. But that's a way that they can actually earn more pay as well if they want to.
It's so infuriating, Dan. It really is so infuriating. And we shouldn't be allowing this. These companies should be held accountable as well. And we hope that they are. But the problem is, too, is I'd assume that once one of these car accidents do take place, they probably just create a new LLC and just move on and allow the other old LLC to be sued. So I'm sure there's a lot there on that front. But I know you got a lot of other stories you're covering over at Infowars.com. So I want to make sure we get through all of that. And I want to get to this story as well. Yesterday, there was an active shooter incident in Arizona, ended tragically. I believe there was law enforcement officers who were killed in all of this. What's the latest on this story?
Yeah, so on Wednesday night, there was an active shooter situation. There was a disturbance in a neighborhood on the outskirts of Flagstaff, and police were called to the scene, and immediately there was an exchange of gunfire. The suspect opened fire on police. According to local media, it was a black male suspect. I haven't seen if they've ID'd the suspect yet. He is in custody, but opened fire on police. And then there were multiple shootouts over the course of at least half an hour, possibly more. And during the situation, all of the local residents were urged to shelter in place. The neighborhood was effectively locked down because this guy was on the loose. And some reports indicate that he was on a rooftop at one point, which we haven't been able to tie that into the helicopter crash, but there's definitely a possibility of a link. An Arizona Department of Public Safety chopper was sent up to give aerial tactical support to law enforcement in the area. And while it was over the scene, the chopper mysteriously totally lost control and plunged to the earth and killed the pilot as well as a trooper paramedic that was on board. They both were killed in this horrible accident. And, you know, obviously stressful enough for local residents to have an active shooter situation, but then you have a helicopter exploding on the ground, and presumably, you know, people that were known to the local community perished in that accident. And it's unconfirmed whether or not the shooter actually got any rounds into the helicopter, any sensitive areas in the chopper, or if the chopper had a malfunction. But the way that it went down on video, it just drops out of the sky straight to the ground. So two officers, two troopers, presumably with AZDPS, were killed in that accident. Just horrifying.
Yeah. No, Dan, I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the family, because that is just devastating, absolutely devastating to see. Dan, you're working on a lot on Infowars.com. And so I'm trying to get to all of the incredible stories you've got up on the website. But it's not just you, Dan. There's other incredible reporters doing great work on the site as well. But there was another story too that I think is really very, very interesting, about an Egyptian male who attempted or admitted to the U.S. via green card lottery, or he was admitted that way to the country. Sorry, that was my dyslexia speaking. But he's been charged with sadly brutally raping a minor while she slept in her Tennessee home. Now, I saw this story and threw up some brief details, but we didn't have a lot of information on it. But you seem to have captured a lot more info on this. What's the latest behind this story?
Yep. So this guy entered the U.S. under the insane program that we've had for many years, the Green Card Diversity Lottery, whereby people apply for this lottery program. And if your name gets pulled out of the hat, you get a visa to come to the U.S. doesn't matter where you're from or what your background is. Apparently, supposedly these people are screened, but I highly doubt it. That's how this guy got into the country. I'm checking to verify he brought into the country in 2017 under the diversity lottery program, which I know Trump has made a huge stink about. I believe it's suspended right now. But in his first term, he was saying, we got to do away with this, and had a hard time getting that implemented. But on December 31st, this Egyptian male, who apparently is a vagrant, homeless, he was known for living behind a market in the Nashville area. He was known to locals. He broke into an apartment where a 16-year-old girl was sleeping next to her nephew, a child. And she woke up with this man in her bed, sexually assaulting her, raping her. And he had a gun on him. So she couldn't do all that much to defend herself, unfortunately. And her nephew presumably was lying right there, terrified. This guy raped her. And she managed to break free at some point, according to her story, and assured this guy that she wouldn't tell anyone if he would just leave. And as soon as he left the apartment, she did notify her sister, who called the police. And the police came and they took the whole statement. They investigated the scene and then they launched an investigation. As soon as they left the apartment, this guy came back and he was brandishing a knife. There was no further altercation, fortunately, and he eventually fled the scene. But some of the reports indicate that he actually attempted to break into another residence where there was a young female living. So presumably he was casing the joint looking for vulnerable suspects. He found one. Eventually he fled to the Louisville, Kentucky area, where he was arrested by local authorities there in mid-January and was eventually brought back to Nashville. And ICE has lodged a detainer against this individual from Egypt, who brought into the country under diversity lottery program. Just total madness.
It's so infuriating. I mean, we know what Egyptian men do. You know, Lara Logan obviously was sexually assaulted by a group of them. We should know better. We should know these are the type of people we should never be bringing into our country. The guy who followed me into my stairwell, it is an Egyptian native. And we allow these people into our country knowing what they're capable of doing, how they have no respect for women. This is the video from Lara Logan. My heart sunk for her. This poor woman, she's so freaking brave, such a brave soul. And I don't know why we do this to ourselves. I don't know why we let these monsters, these animals into our country. Just another example. Also, by the way, folks, if you remember, Nashville was where that other woman was sadly raped and passed away after her sexual assault that took place on the steps of a church in downtown Nashville, I believe. Paramedics were the ones.
A Somali.
Yep, Somalian man, who was illegally here. So Nashville has a massive problem. I know there's a group of congressmen who keep speaking out on the issue, but they have a massive, massive issue on their hands. And again, this was all part of the efforts to completely change the demographics in places like Tennessee as well. So that's why they force these illegal invaders into those areas. Deanne, I want to ask you about this too. There's this clip that's going viral right now of Florida Congresswoman Maria Salzer. And I've never liked her because I know that she's spoken several times. She's gone to the World Economic Forum. She never once was arguing against their agenda. And I deemed her as someone who I personally believe is in line with the WEF. And she made a ridiculous statement yesterday in clip one. Take a listen.
But don't touch the nannies or the gardeners or the ones who are picking up the jalapeno peppers or the oranges or the berries or the ones in the dairy houses. Come on. Those people are helping us eat better, cheaper homes, cheaper vegetables and better fruits. So those are the ones that we are trying to give a dignified status.
So she wants to cherry pick which illegal invaders she wants to keep to this country because, well, I mean, they want cheap people to pick with cheap labor to pick the products that she could eat. This is literally slave labor, what she's describing. And she has no problem just being bold enough to say that. Now, the problem with all of this is President Trump obviously came out earlier this week and has made a lot of statements that are getting a lot of pushback from his base in regards to only going after violent illegal aliens. What do you make of all of this? Because it seems it's not just her. There's also obviously the Republican governor in Ohio as well, DeWine. I'm sorry, that's his name. And, you know, we played the clip earlier, too, of him. He's out here advocating, saying that we need these Haitians in Ohio because they contribute to our economy, which is pretty bad if your economy relies on Haitians. But, Dan, what do you make of all of this now that we have Republicans going soft on immigration?
Oh, it's just awful. Salazar is a joke. She's a Democrat in disguise, or barely in disguise. I mean, she's pretty out there with this being very open about the fact that we need this imported slave class. And it's gross. It reminds me of the comment that Kelly Osbourne made a few years back when she said, "Oh, if you remove all the immigrants, all the illegals, who will clean our toilets? Who will do all of the dirty work for us?" And that's how a lot of these elitists view these people coming in. But unfortunately, we all normal people have to live around them, and they're the ones, you know, in many, many cases, when illegal aliens or imported labor are arrested for horrific crimes against Americans, a lot of the time we find out that they were working blue-collar jobs or in many cases in construction, roofing, things like that. We had a rape here in Florida, not too far from where I live, and the guy that was arrested was illegally here from Guatemala, and he was here as a roofer. And we find that time and time again. These people, they may be going to do these hard jobs that Americans supposedly don't want to do, but when they're not working, they're getting drunk and crashing their cars into American citizens, or they're raping American women. And so we just can't have these people in our country, period, in my opinion. And if you recall, we're probably close to the same age. Growing up, you know, a lot of these jobs at that time were done by, you know, teenagers on summer break, you know, mowing lawns and stuff like that. We didn't have as many imported landscapers as we do now, where, like, you know, you hardly ever see an American, working on a landscape crew at this point, or on a roofing crew, or on a construction crew. And frankly, in many cases, the work that they do is subpar, especially in the case of Haitians. You just look at Haiti. There's no way that we can, you know, say with a straight face in this country that we need Haitians in our country to do jobs that Americans supposedly won't do. The fact of the matter is they'll do it for cheaper and they'll live in crappier conditions and unfortunately clog up our housing market as well, as we've seen in recent years. So we definitely do not need these people to do these jobs. Americans will do them for the right wage, and they also won't be going around raping the local citizens or crashing their cars into them drunk as much as these people from south of the border tend to do.
Yeah, well, Maria Salazar needs her berries and her jalapenos being picked for her at cheap labor cost. So we have to just put up with it. It doesn't matter if your daughters are getting raped, according to Maria Salazar. This is the insanity. I mean, she's literally preaching for amnesty. And it's not just her, too. I think there was a press conference between her and Mike Lawler, another New York. He's a Republican, but he is just an absolute troll. And so it's not surprising, Dan, that this is what's going on with Republicans. They're trying to argue for slave labor, and they're trying to, we live in moderate districts, and so we have to kind of teeter on this. No, this is not what the American people voted for, and we're not going to let up on this anytime soon. Dan Lyman, you do incredible work over at Infowars.com, as well as Border Hawk as well. Folks, if you don't follow him on X, stop what you're doing right now and give him a follow. Real Dan Lyman is where you can find him on X. Dan, we appreciate your insight as always, and keep up the good work over at Infowars.com.
Thanks, Brianna. Happy weekend to all.
Yes, happy weekend. I do love Fridays. I do love Fridays. All right, folks, I'm keeping my eye on the announcement we played for you earlier in the show. As many of you guys know, we brought you that press conference, which included the AG, Pam Bondi, as well as the FBI director, Kash Patel. And they announced a major arrest, what they claimed, in regards to Benghazi. As many of you guys know, obviously, that was a horrific terror attack back in 2012 that took place. We all know what Hillary Clinton's role in that was. But they're claiming that they made a massive arrest. And the individual, and, you know, let me just butcher it for a second, because you guys know I can't do this. Zubari is how they're pronouncing it. It's his first name. And let's go with that last name. Al-Bakush is the suspect that they've arrested. Now, interesting enough, Sarah Adams, who I do appreciate her insight on a lot of these issues, because it's hard to find someone to give you a fair shake at this. She has written a book about Benghazi and obviously was very well involved that day as someone who's working over the CIA, but she was somebody who was obviously, I believe she was present during all of this. Well, she's just released a statement on X, and she's referring to this individual as a Boy Scout. Ultimately, what she's saying is, yes, was he a piece of garbage? True, he was, but she's considering him not to be as high of an official as the DOJ claims he is. She claims, quote, he's a lower level figure from our attacks. She also claims that he's not in good health. He suffered a stroke years ago, so he hasn't been a key player in any of this for some time, she's claiming. Now, this video that Fox just also released, and Fox got the exclusive, as they always do, because the DOJ loves them. So does the FBI. They just print and don't question from those press releases, but no shade there. But they had just released an exclusive video in regards to all of this, and it looks like he isn't in good health either. So Sarah's assessment might actually be 100% spot on. Again, this is her opinion that she's putting out there. And so she's saying it's an important arrest, but it's not one of the top officials from Benghazi. And so she just wanted to clarify that. Here's that footage I was detailing about earlier. This is the arrest. He's obviously unable to get down from the stairs and they have to assist him. Sarah Adams is claiming that he suffered from a stroke years ago. And so he's not in good health. We'll bring you more on this when we start learning more on this, of course, and when I get that criminal complaints. But as you can see, not in good shape. Folks, in the meantime, we're very excited about launching our brand new item over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you haven't done it already, stop what you're doing. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human Hydration. It's the electrolytes drink packets that we just launched. It includes French sea salt. Comes in two incredible flavors. And when you subscribe, each serving is $1.25. I'm telling you, this is a better deal than you're going to find anywhere else. You're not going to find a better deal. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag yourself some of these.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man. He lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on.
It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked, showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I feel, what I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter. With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're on with us. Third lap, final lap, third hour, final lap. You see, this is the problem. I normally every day start by getting my electrolytes in the morning, drinking, having a protein shake. Didn't do that today. And so not all there. But buckle up, we've got great stuff to cover in this next segment because my favorite person ever joining us, Ms. Mel K, will be with us in just one moment. I wanted to talk a little bit about Tom Tillis. As many of you guys know, that's the senator who's a rhino, and I'm not really a fan of Tillis. Tillis is somebody who I think is toxic. I think he's somebody who aligns with the globalists, and we've got proof of that. He's someone who's trying his very best to stop the president's new Fed chair pick to getting confirmed in the Senate. Right now, what's going on, obviously, is Jerome Powell is on his way out because he is set to, set to expire. And this is well overdue. I mean, we've been waiting for this. Jerome Powell reports to the globalists, not to the American people. Mel Kay has outlined that for you in the show several times. But when Tillis was asked about why he's holding up President Trump's Fed board nominee, well, he had this to say in clip 8. Take a listen.
to Kevin Warsh's nomination? Are you talking about
No, I'm standing by my statement. They know that I'm in that posture as long as the investigation's going on, so we don't really need to talk about that. We talk about other things, but
has there
that.
Been outreach on their end at all to you?
Well, with respect to the nomination, this is a binary scenario. When the investigation is done, I will do the introduction for Mr. Warsh on the next chairmanship. Until the investigation is done, I will oppose any board confirmation.
Lastly, do you know if a confirmation date is going to be set, though, in this committee?
Don't know. I mean, they can do it, but I'll withhold the vote. So it'll be a hearing, and then we can set it in abeyance, I guess, and wait for this to be clear, if that's the posture of the prosecutor anyway.
Okay, so Tillis is trying his best to hold up President Trump's pick from being confirmed because, well, he wants the investigation against Jerome Powell to be dropped. You see what he's doing there? You see what he's doing there? So he doesn't want Jerome Powell to be investigated. Now, that doesn't scream innocence to me. But why would Tillis be motivated like this? This doesn't make any sense. Unless you remember what he was saying in Davos just a few weeks ago. And we've got that clip for you. Take a listen to clip 9.
What's Trump's position on the WEF at the moment? Is he still anti, or is he for the WEF? You seem very anti-globalist.
Well, let me put it this way. I represent the Article 1 branch, and we're very supportive.
Ah.
Okay, interesting.
Very interesting. They support the World Economic Forum. Isn't that something? Joining me to discuss is Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, which I highly recommend you give a follow both on Twitter as well as Rumble. And she's also the author of Americans Anonymous, which is a book you need to snag over on Amazon right this second. All right, Mel, it's a pleasure always to have you on the program. Tom Tillis, so this is an individual, a senator, is someone who we constantly call out for being a rhino. But here he is doing his best to get the investigation into Jerome Powell dropped. And he's not going to confirm the president's new Fed pick. Now, this is interesting. Again, we just played the clip for you. Because of Tillis's liking for the World Economic Forum. I mean, he agrees with them. He aligns with them. What do you make of Tillis and what he's doing right now? Because I know you've outlined the argument that Jerome Powell doesn't report to the American people. He instead reports to the globalists.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the investigation into Powell is about $2 billion going into the rebuild of some sort of palace for the Federal Reserve that is neither federal nor a reserve. That is the American people paying that kind of money for their luxury headquarters. I don't know why any American, let alone somebody that's an elected representative, wouldn't want to get to the bottom of that. And like you said, Jerome Powell is aligned with the Bank of International Settlements, the international banks, the central banks and all of that. Why would Tillis? I thought it was independent. Why would anyone that was an elected official want to impede the independence of the he's making it political, obviously. Tillis is on his way out. You know, he's been he's a never Trumper and he's been on the wrong side of everything. And I think he's on his way out. Maybe he's planning for his post government kickback, wherever that may lead. But frankly, standing your ground on a lawsuit against Powell and holding up possibly the change of our financial system for the better is just a selfish, self-serving situation. And, you know, he's been there before. He's been very behind the expansion of the Islamist in his district and all of that. So it just seems to me that he's over it and he's going to go out with a bang, in his opinion. He'll go out as a failure. But if you don't want to politicize the Federal Reserve, then don't politicize the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple. It's that simple. And it's so frustrating, yeah. Mel, to see these people standing in the way. And this is what's going on, right? This is why we have a weak DOJ right now. It's because people in the Senate, these rhino Republicans are doing their very best to stand up and against whatever President Trump wishes to do. And it's frustrating because, I mean, they're using this for political capital. The president even spoke about that when he was trying to get Matt Gaetz pushed through, is that Matt Gaetz would have cost him too much political capital. And so these are the people that are standing up and trying to push back on the president's agenda. And I mean, what do you think about what President Trump's done so far? I mean, the fact that Hill is out here speaking about this so openly and openly bragging about holding up the president's agenda. Do you think the president's speaking out and calling these people out enough?
It doesn't matter, apparently, what he does or what he says, because there is some kind of mechanism that is stopping any accountability from anyone being, given to the American people, who deserve accountability probably from every single sitting senator and congressperson from the day the AutoPen presidency started. I would say that the American people should demand a people's audit of all of the representatives of the Senate and the House and the executive branch under the AutoPen presidency, which was a presidency by dark shadow globalist forces. And everyone knows it now. It's all out in the open. The Epstein thing only solidified that our country has a supranational financial slash global public-private partnership above it. Everything I've been talking about is in the Epstein files. So to me, the American people deserve to know exactly who has looted and lied to us. Trillions upon trillions of dollars left this country while we had an incapacitated president run by committee of people that weren't elected. Most people don't even know their names. Comer put in about 2 months ago a list of 10 people that should be charged in the AutoPen presidency, which would, of course, then start the ball rolling in the entire 4 years of a farce that the American people were lied to, looted, manipulated, and drug into a third world war, all by design, all by plan. That was the whole thing. Get Trump out, get back in, get back on track for their World War III slash Agenda 2030 as fast as possible. And frankly, it looks like a lot of people in Congress and Senate became millionaires over that time. So to me, I just feel that the entire Washington, D.C. should be investigated from top to bottom for the American people. So I don't understand at this point why it has anything to do with Trump. And frankly, it is very disappointing because most people, at least in my audience, don't believe that there's going to be any accountability for the people that stood by Trump. I see he has a lot of lawsuits going on. I guess he's going to sue the IRS now. He sued a bunch of radio, I mean, TV people, but also he sued YouTube that banned a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff, we still see the lawfare people out there. I know Norm Eisen has impeachment papers ready to go the day that they think they're going to win the 2026 election. And nobody's really talking about the plan for that. But I have a lot of fears for 2026 because the most ardent Trump supporters, particularly the January 6 people, the lawyers, the electors that all had their lives ruined, all the people that stood up for Trump, Navarro, Bannon, Stone, Flynn, all these people, they're seeing no accountability for them or for the American people. I'm very happy that Donald Trump's private lawyers are suing a bunch of agencies, but the bottom line is the crimes were against we, the people of the United States. And I'm not so sure that whoever is controlling what is happening cares that the people of this country were greatly damaged during the 4 years of the AutoPen in every which way and are seeing no arrest. Bottom line, why not start with the money? I mean, we saw in Doge all of the trillions of dollars Samantha Power was okay in going overseas. I mean, trillions of dollars went into black holes that we don't even know where they go because we're still under this ridiculous International Organization Immunity Act of 1945. So you can't look in the World Bank. You can't look in the IMF. You certainly cannot look or have any jurisdiction to investigate the Bank of International Settlements. And yet trillions of dollars are disappearing from the United States. And nobody in our government seems to understand that the taxpayers have had it. Not to mention COVID, there was no science to shut down the entire middle class of the entire world other than to reorganize for the Great Reset. So it's becoming very clear, again, from some of the Epstein files, that the entire plandemic was a financial reset on top of everything else. And frankly, a lot of people in our government got very rich during the plandemic. So again, we are at a place where the Trump administration, DOJ, I guess it's Pam Bondi, Susie Wiles, and what's his name? The Democrat that's leading the way, too. They don't seem to understand that the American people aren't going to be encouraged to go out and vote in 2026 if all of this fraud to the tune of trillions of dollars, what is coming out about the Ukraine war, what is coming about COVID, what is coming about the banks, what is coming out about the supranational financial system is all in our faces and nobody's even being held accountable for the fraud, let alone Act Blue should have been investigated day one. We're almost at the midterms and you can't do anything now. And again, USAID deserves to hold an accounting for the American people as to where all our money went. And at this point, you know, it's like it's not about Trump. We actually have to start thinking about post-Trump and what is our message and what do we stand for? And frankly, I don't think anyone in the government on either side right now has any power to do anything. I really feel that the Epstein files are showing us that real power lies above the government. And if real power lies above the government, then we, the people, are the ones that need to demand that it goes back to the people. Consent of the governed is completely gone in the United States. They don't care at all. Not Tillis, not anyone. They're not working for us. So until we have real reforms, like, I don't know, making lobbying illegal, auditing every single sitting senator and congressperson and people in the executive branch during the auto pen, looking into what Jeffrey Epstein was doing with Bill Gates and everyone and planning for a pandemic in 2015. And again, if you tell me your first weeks that Barack Obama and his inner circle committed sedition and treason, why hasn't that been referred to military justice? Isn't that they did a global coup against the sitting president in 2016 that is seditious and is treasonous, and nothing's going to happen to them as far as we can see at this point. At least there is no evidence that it is. And I'm telling you, people are exhausted because the crimes against the American people since they murdered JFK have gone unchecked, unaccounted for, with no responsibility, nobody going to jail. And I just don't understand at this point. They don't get that the optics of I don't know what they're doing, going after this and that and the other thing, isn't bringing justice for what has been done to the people of this country for now decades of financial looting, endless wars for profit, and many of our, you know, family members and others fighting in wars that it ends up really were just orchestrated to consolidate wealth at the top. It's just there's so many things and they're not addressing them. I'm very happy that they're addressing, you know, the murderer of Chris Stevens, but that should really be about Hillary Clinton being held accountable. So again, nobody in the U.S. government at all that I can see is being held accountable for the crimes they committed against we the people.
Yeah, and we're keeping our eye on still Benghazi because that update that just came out too. I mean, it looks like Sarah Adams is saying that the arrest that was made is somebody who was not a high up official and someone who's in poor health. And so there's that. And we saw the footage. He doesn't look well either. So it kind of does add up. But Mel, you also mentioned obviously the Epstein files being released and a lot that we're finding out about that. I wanted to play this clip, clip 13 regarding Bill Gates. He's kind of being forced now to answer some questions. Take a listen.
$100 billion handshake.
How are you? Thank you.
Bill Gates back in Australia, committing his money to medicine. But as we sat down, the world was gripped in the latest round of accusations from the Epstein files.
Yeah, I met Jeffrey in 2011. The focus was always he knew a lot of very rich people, and he was saying he could get them to give money to global health. You know, in retrospect, that was a dead end, and I was foolish to spend time with him. I was one of many people who regret ever knowing him.
Tonight, the demand for answers include from his former wife.
Those questions are for those people and for even my ex-husband. They need to answer to those things, not me.
You've no doubt seen the allegations, including some of them from the last 24 to 48 hours. Are they true?
No. Apparently, Jeffrey wrote an email to himself. That email was never sent. The email is, false. So I don't know what his thinking was there. It just reminds me, you know, every minute I spent with him, I regret and I, you know, apologize that I did that.
The problem is some of the things that he has sent and some of the information about other people that has come up in those files has been true. Why would he do this and say this about you, do you think?
You know, it's factually true that I was only at dinners, you know, I never went to the island, I never met any women. And so, you know, the more that comes out, the more clear it'll be that although the time was a mistake, it had nothing to do with that kind of behavior.
It comes at a time where trust in institutions is low and demand for charity is high.
All right, I want to jump in on that because I think the key word here, Mel, was he never met with any women, but he doesn't say girls. He doesn't say girls. And we all know what Jeffrey Epstein's about. Obviously, these are underage girls. So that probably would have been a good follow-up question. Can you be a little bit more specific, Bill? But, you know, the Congressional Committee is saying that they're considering bringing Bill in front of the Congress. I believe this is the Oversight Committee. James Comer putting that out earlier this week as well. Why is it taking so long, Mel? Because This man needs to be placed under oath. We need to hear directly from his mouth what was going on with these hangouts with Jeffrey Epstein, because his wife warned him that Jeffrey Epstein was up to no good. He ignored his wife and continued to, according to his wife, continued to go and meet up with Epstein. It doesn't sound innocent. Also, why is the rich, one of the richest men in the world, going to be begging for change from Jeffrey Epstein for his global health initiative? It doesn't make any sense, Mel.
No, it doesn't make any sense. But what are they going to say now? The bottom line is, like I said, the American people deserve to have Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates in front of the American mm-hmm. people asking questions and answering questions about Event 201, about the emails with Epstein. The most disturbing are it is they are talking about the pandemic, plandemic in terms of financial opportunities and making a ton of money and being a new financial instrument, basically, on the world stage. This goes to the Clintons, to the Clinton Health Initiative. We know Jeffrey Epstein, in sworn deposition, said that he helped create the Clinton Global Initiative, which, of course, is something you get invited into, and then you have to give, I think, $200,000 or some high amount. Oh, no, that's Democracy Alliance, another one of these things. I think maybe $15,000 is dues per year, and then you're part of the Clinton Global Initiative. But the Clintons have dozens of NGOs and dozens of nonprofits all over the world, not just the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Initiative. And it looks like Epstein was involved in all of that. But again, a lot of the talk between Epstein, JP Morgan Chase, go back to when they created pandemic bonds well before anyone thought anything about it. I believe in 2012, 2013. And then to me, what we are talking about is the unleashing of a virus on the world that was obviously funded in some part by the World Economic, I mean, by the USAID, mm-hmm. State Department, Department of Defense, all these people, Anthony Fauci, in cahoots with the Chinese Communist Party and military in China at the Wuhan lab. A lot of people were involved in this, and I still don't know how the American people can let it go or not have a hearing, because to me that would sound like treason. If the highest people in our country are creating bioweapons that shouldn't be done, and Obama moved offshore to Ukraine and Wuhan, I think we the people deserve some answers as to why they were collaborating with apparently our biggest enemy on planet Earth that justifies billions and billions of dollars of defense spending, yet they're creating a bioweapon that was then released shortly before the 2020 election cycle started, turned our whole country into a mail-in ballot cheating operation. And frankly, you go all the way back to Transition Integrity Project. So all of this for me goes back to they have the money. They know about the transactions. They know who the transactions were between. You would think by now that there would be unending freezing of assets, raiding of offices of NGOs that were involved, looking into the Gates Foundation and Gavi and all these other things that Gates controls. Look into the $14 trillion a year that goes through American NGOs, including his NGO. All these people pay no taxes. They start foundations. And frankly, I think a lot of them are aligned with the CIA State Department rogue global public-private partnership that stopped working for the American people shortly after World War II and has not worked for us since. I mean, really, this is all much bigger than Bill Gates or Jeffrey Epstein. It's about the looting and the theft of American taxpayer money now for decades with no accountability and no one even looking into the financial transactions and where our money has gone. So to me, all of this goes down to if you want to arrest people, start with following the money and make some arrest and freeze some assets and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Well, Mel K, we're all on board for that. And we're waiting to see some results here. We've been waiting very patiently. We're going to keep waiting. But Mel, yeah, you do an incredible job all the time on your show, The Mel K Show. Give her a follow on X and Rumble as well. Again, folks, we got to beat the system. The best way to do so is to support people like Mel who are doing just that. So you can follow her on X, Mel K Show. And she also has the book, Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon, folks. If you're looking to figure out how do we save this country, well, this is a great plan to do just that over on Amazon. So grab that book. Mel, thank you as always. We greatly appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, guys, I want to get to the story. This gave me a good chuckle. I don't know if you saw this, but Bernie Sanders, you know, the guy who sits there and complains about the rich, the 1%, well, he is the 1% apparently, because he spent about $550,000 in campaign funds on private jets in 2025. That's according to the FEC filings. If you're wondering why he spent such a large amount of cash, well, that's because him and AOC had a tour to do about fighting the oligarchy. I say I can't even speak today, guys. This is why you have to drink your electrolytes every morning, because when you don't do it, you look like me. Yeah, no, folks, it's all a scam. You know that I know that. These people are absolute con artists, trying their best to lie to young people because they're struggling to be able to afford housing and other things, and pushing them closer and closer to communism. That's what's going on here. No surprise there at all. No surprise there at all. $500,000, that's a lot of money for 1 year. Not bad. Not bad. If you want to be rich, run for Congress. Stop trying to work a real job. Run for Congress. I like this one. This is a good one. There was a DOJ attorney. I got to pull this one up. There was a DOJ attorney who apparently wasn't very happy in court, and she's been fired since. But she had a complete meltdown in court. I mean, this is like wild. This is wild. Apparently, this is according to the Gateway Pundit. There was an individual who no longer, Julie Lee, is no longer an attorney over at the DOJ, but she was one over at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota. She got really enraged while working immigration courts cases in front of the judge. The judge, who is a Biden appointee, got kind of fired up with her because she said openly in court that this job sucks. Well, that resulted in the judge holding her in contempt and then resulted in the DOJ firing her. I mean, yeah, it probably does suck as a job. I don't think I like it. But she was probably sleep deprived because she also said this: I wish you would hold me in contempt of court so I can get 24 hours of sleep, she said, according to Fox 9. The system sucks. This job sucks. And I'm trying with every breath I have to get you what I need. So she's probably just a chick who's just, I don't even know what her political alignments are. But you know when you have a really crappy job, and I would assume working for the DOJ is one of them, especially when you're in Minnesota trying to fight these immigration judges. And it's probably a really bad job. So hopefully she finds a pillow and a new job, because that's a cry for help. It's a cry for help. Folks, are really excited that over at thealexjonesstore.com, we recently just launched Optimal Human Hydration. It's electrolytes that you all need every single day. Head on over to the shop and grab it. We have two flavors, strawberry lemonade and lemon lime. That's available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're someone who's looking to maybe fix your fatigue issues, brain fog, have less of that, that's really important, or reduce your headaches, this is what you're going to want to snag. I start my day every day with my electrolytes, and I don't know how anyone doesn't do that. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe, each serving is $1.25. That is how affordable this product is. So you got to head on over to the shop to do just that. We also launched those energy shots as well, so snag that too at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. They're like, God, that's a huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.